Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska, this is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting from the wilds of Alaska. And tonight we have on a returning guest. His name is Joel Belmer, calling in from the Denver metro area to talk about his company, O-Dog Adventures. Joel, how's it going?
It is going great. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for calling back in. It's been quite a while, but you got a lot of interesting and new stuff to talk about. I think you have one of the coolest companies, not only in Denver, but maybe the nation. I know I was just very excited to talk to you when you and I spoke. I guess it's been at least 9 months, almost a year ago, huh?
I would say close to a year, and I was actually thinking about this today, knowing I was going to be on the show again with you tonight, that I think it might have been a year ago, right when I was starting and maybe had 3 clients, and now it's close to 40 and, you know, close to capacity. So a lot has changed.
Well, you know, that's always good, especially in the times that we live in today with the economy and everything that's happening in the world. I am so glad to hear that not only a dog training business, a dog walking business, a dog activity business such as yours, but any business is thriving. And that is so important because this nation is built on guys and gals like you and I that, you know, get up every morning and, you know, just plug away at it and make sure everything is rocking and rolling. Isn't that right?
That's very true. Yes. Yep.
So let's tell the listeners that didn't get a chance to meet you before who you are and about your company.
Okay, my name is Joel Belmer, and I've lived in Denver for 13 years. I was a teacher for about 12 years, including a kindergarten teacher and high school tennis coach, and got just kind of burnt out with that. It was really the stress and working a little bit too much. So the goal was to start a business where I could be happy doing what I would, you know, love to do. And also, I knew I wanted to work with dogs and also start something unique that I could, you know, give back to dogs and their dog owners and help them become healthier. So I started O-Dog Adventures, which is a dog adventure company. We do all off-leash trips like hiking, swimming, snowshoeing. I even take dogs camping as an alternative to overnight pet sitting. It's pretty simple. That's basically the gist of it. It's all about being an alternative to doggy daycares and dog walkers, and it's basically for, you know, exercising dogs. Very specialized service.
So the first question I'm sure a lot of folks have would be, how come you want to take my dog hiking, you know, other than, you know, why would somebody want you to do that for their own dog?
Well, it doesn't work for every dog. I do a lot to test dogs, and I don't accept every dog like a dog walking company. I do interviews at people's houses, and then I test dogs. I'll bring one brand-new dog with a regular pack of dogs to a 20-acre fenced-in area before I would even accept them to go on adventures outside of fenced-in areas. But basically, I think there are a lot of breeds, younger dogs, active dogs. I think it really doesn't matter, you know, about the breed as much as the person knowing their dog, and that a lot of times a walk around the block with a leash is not doing it, and people have hyper dogs and energetic dogs that need more than that. So that's kind of what I can offer people, you know, if their dogs need that. I never try to be a salesman. I try to be really upfront with people. If the leash walking isn't cutting it and giving them enough exercise, then my company is probably the best alternative for that. I do half-day adventures. I do 2 trips a day, and each half-day adventure is an hour and a half of off-leash time, and I do pick-up and drop-off as well. So these dogs are coming home pretty wiped out, content, happy, exhausted, and, you know, the owners are very grateful for that when they're away at work and they come home to a tired dog.
You know, that's what I was going to say. I've said throughout my dog training career, a tired dog is definitely a happy owner. Not only can they not get into trouble, but, you know, it's just like with us. It's much more healthy for them to get out and exercise as much as they possibly can. You know, they're growing, thriving creatures, and they need that exercise, not just cooped up in the kennel, in the living room, or in the backyard, or in the garage, or whatever. They
Agreed.
Need to get out and be dogs, right?
Agreed. And from what I've learned and read about dogs, and especially firsthand experiences, that's what I notice and the owners notice, is that the first thing they see change is the behavior. And I tell this to my clients all the time. A lot of my clients are, you know, pretty well to do and have enough money to send their dog out on, you know, adventures. But what I find out is when I test dogs and I see these behavior problems and I bring them on adventures, you know, sometimes I call the owner and just say, are your dogs getting outside every day and walking every day, or at least getting out of the yard, you know, and that only happens a few times with dogs that have behavior problems, but what I'm finding is a big misconception is that people with huge yards and multiple dogs don't think their dogs need to get out and walk because they're out in the backyard playing and they think that's enough, and I always disagree with that dog, you know, the dogs are a lot like people. They do need to get outside. They do need to exercise. They need to see the world a bit and get out of their everyday routine, you know, so I really preach that to a lot of people.
Totally,
and I don't
totally
try to sell my I don't try to sell my adventures every day because, you know, my clients do like 1 to 3 days a week. So I try to help people, you know, even encourage them to get their dog just on a walk a few days a week and maybe my service a couple days a week. But I encourage them to at least get outside of the house and yard every single day.
Exactly. And like I was saying, I totally agree with that. Nothing more beneficial to a dog than a proper exercise program. And like you said, you have a very niche market. There's lots of dog walking companies. There's lots of dog sitting companies, et cetera, et cetera. But this is a little bit different. And not only is it different in Denver, but throughout the nation, you know, a lot of folks just don't offer anything like that. But Denver is a very dog-centric community. There's lots and lots of dogs. I remember during my years of being there, you know, people did everything with their dogs in Denver. They took them to the cafe, they took them to the park, they took them in their cars, they took them everywhere. So I think that is definitely a benefit to the owners, is they already know that they want to do a lot of stuff with dogs, but sometimes they just don't have the time, right?
Exactly, and that's why I basically have business hours Monday through Friday for exactly that reason. When, you know, people are at work and they can't do that, you know, my clientele do this on the weekends and when they can, you know, when they have time off, they're doing what I do exactly for work, you know, which kind of makes me feel good that I get to do every day what dog owners want to do when they have time, basically. And you also, what you said about Denver is very true that, you know, I mean, they're literally, even on my half-day trips, I can go to 100, a couple 200-acre, a 400-acre spot, a lake spot that are all legal areas for dogs. So, I mean, it's an extremely, extremely dog-friendly area in Denver and, you know, the foothills and surrounding areas.
So my question first to you, Joel, we're talking to Joel Belmer. He is the owner of O-Dog Adventures in the Denver area. What kind of rig do you have to transport these dogs? I'm thinking of what we drive up here with our dog trucks with the little spots for each dog. What do you take all these dogs together on these adventures? What kind of setup do you have?
So that's a great question. I just right now have a Honda Element with the two back seats out. Then I have a cargo liner in the back. I'll have one dog in the front seat. I have different size doggy seat belts or harnesses.
Uh-huh.
And then a barrier going across, you know, down the middle of the back. So, and again, I am very careful about who I accept. A brand new dog will ride in the front seat until they are introduced to the pack that first day. Then again, I'm only accepting dogs that are socialized and, of course, have recall and have the pack mentality and whatnot. So, again, a year of doing this, I can honestly say, even especially since it's on the air, never had any issues, no bites, no fights, no problems, because I think just the way I do test dogs and how careful I am, you know, I've probably turned away probably close to 10 dogs or safety behavior, you know, a lot of different reasons. So I'm extremely careful. And that's kind of the goal of how I look at things and how I run my company, is that it's not all about, you know, it's not like a dog walking company where I take every single dog just to make more and more money. And, you know, I started this business to enjoy it myself and have the dogs have the best possible exercise they can while being safe, of course, you know. Sure. I want to stay at that zero problem mark.
And of course that makes your clients feel good. A client never wants you to get, you know, to give them a call mid-adventure to say, hey, your dog got into a fight with Rover. That's
of course,
something you want to call about, right?
Never. And the other way I am safe about that is I never go to small, fenced-in dog parks where I've been doing this, you know, on the side of teaching for about 10 years. I did pet sitting, and that's kind of how everything clicked for me to start this business, is I would take those dogs, instead of walking them around the block, I would take them to dog parks and hiking and just, you know, at no extra charge. And from my experience, when I see when I went to those small dog parks, the small fencing areas, that's kind of where I see the aggressive behaviors. I just don't, you know, there's too many dogs and uneducated owners and not enough space. So, I mean, what I found is when we go to these 20-acre, 100-acre, 200-acre spots and I have a pack of dogs, you know, they'll meet another dog or a couple dogs, but there's enough space for us to kind of walk on and move on if need be, if you start to see another dog having some behavior issues.
Exactly.
So that's what I found. We stay away from the very small places at all times.
Joel, do you have a kind of a balanced dog that you take along, a dog that you own, you know, one that kind of sets the mood for the pack, or is that all you?
No, I group. Actually, that's a really good question. I do a lot to group dogs. You know, what I do is very simple, but there's a lot to do with the logistics and different areas and grouping dogs. I definitely think about that every day. You know, I look, so I'll have two adventures a day, and my clients are very, very flexible. So if I have 12 dogs in a day, I can let the people usually know the night before, I'm going to take yours in the afternoon, yours in the morning. So I kind of look at that each evening of who I'm going to group together based on behavior, who would like to go to water spots and, you know, that kind of thing. So put a lot of thought into that.
So, Joel, again, talking to Joel Belmer tonight, O-Dog Adventures. Is it odogadventures.com?
Correct, yes.
That is his
and
website?
Even,
go ahead.
Even better than that, I'm having a new website worked on, and that, you know, that's still fine, but I think even more informative than that, to give people an idea of what it's all about, is my O-Dog Adventures Facebook page.
Of course.
I post adventure pictures from every single adventure on that Facebook page, so it can, you know, that will give people a really good idea of what it's all about.
Gotta love social media in today's business, don't you?
Oh, my gosh. It's incredible. Incredible.
So speaking of today's business, you're not only doing your own thing in terms of business and doing very well for yourself in that business, but you're also starting something brand new where you're going to be giving back. And I know you and I were talking about that right before the show aired. What is that all about?
So I've had this idea. I've done a lot of volunteer work in my day. I told you I was a teacher, but I've also done Big Brothers, Big Sisters. I've been a Special Olympics coach for 10 years and counting, and always try to think of ways to give back. But so after starting this business, I toyed around with some ideas of how to – I always had the name picked out of Homeless Hound Hike. So it started where I would go to shelters, or volunteers would go to shelters and take dogs out either on a leashed hike, a walk around the block just to get those dogs out. And then, you know, through talking to some clients and friends, I came up with the idea to include – homeless people, you know, at homeless shelters, to get them involved with walking dogs from shelters, basically. And kind of the idea behind that is, you know, to help dogs and people. And, you know, I'm just starting this nonprofit, so I'm looking at ways to do this, whether it's, you know, me taking two or three homeless people with three dogs from shelters out on a walk or a hike. And possibly, because again, I started my own business, I run it myself, I kind of started it from nothing, nobody helped me, didn't have money saved up, but, you know, to maybe kind of talk to these people too about the possibility of starting their own business or finding a job or being successful, or you know, just that kind of giving back kind of all around to people and dogs is kind of the idea behind it.
Well, and you know, those are two big problems, not only in Denver, but most metro areas throughout the country. Homelessness is a big problem, excuse me, not only for pets, but also for people and families and a lot of displaced people these days, isn't it there?
Oh, definitely. There really are. And I see a lot of, you know, there are a lot of nonprofits where, you know, people are making grocery bags, they're making different products. And anytime I see that, and I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way, is you want to buy those products. You know, you're helping people that need help and that are trying to have a better life. So, I mean, that's just kind of where I want to, you know, jump in as well, just to try to encourage the, you know, people that need help. And, but, you know, I also think, too, without even me babbling to these people, I think getting some homeless people out, you know, because usually people are helping them and they're getting charity or however you look at it. But if I feel like if I can get some people that are homeless and in need to be helping a dog that is in need, I think that can kind of work its own magic. Do you know what I mean? Without even really having to
sure
talk about anything. You know, does that make sense?
It does.
Because we all know the magic of dogs, therapy dogs, and what dogs do for everyone. So if, you know, a homeless person struggling can, they can understand that this dog does not have a home and it's stuck inside a shelter all day. If they get to go walk it and help that dog, I just think that, you know, again, I really do. I believe that could do some really great things.
And, you know, Joel, that's a great program. Years ago, I had a program very similar to yours, but on a little bit different spectrum. I worked with some at-risk kids, you know, the kids that may be bullies or getting in trouble in school. And then I paired them up very similar to what you're doing with dog walks and socialization with dogs that were at risk, whether they were, you know, aggressive type dogs that have been through some type of program. You know, so we're taking quote unquote aggressive dogs and quote unquote aggressive kids and pairing them together and, you know, doing walks and activities. And it was such a great program to have on both sides. It helped the kids, and of course it helped the dogs because they were socialized, and of course the kids were able to be out in the community and doing their own thing as well. I sure wish I would have continued that. It was part of a graduate program that I was helping with, and man, that could have probably really taken off. But a program like yours, the same type of deal. It just takes that out of the box thinking, and not only with you know, the homeless pets and the homeless folks, but just a business like yours. That's how this country was founded, on very cool business ideas, and that's why I wanted to have you back on, Joel. Because again, you got a rocking business, and man, I'm envious up here in Alaska for sure.
Well, thank you, and that's really cool to hear that you started you know, something like that with kids and dogs, because I've never really heard anything like that, and that really is cool to me to hear. To hear about stories like that. That's really cool.
Sure, no problem. Maybe we can talk off air, email or whatever, and figure out how we can assist each other in terms of setting up your program. What else is going on? I know off air you were talking about getting some land of your own to have your own adventures. What's that all about?
Yeah, so I try to, you know, and I try to be careful to not give away all my ideas, but you know, I think it kind of is what it is, but I'm currently looking at plots of land, like around 40 acres, to be able to have, you know, dog adventures on my own land, where I could hire people to do all the pickups and drop-offs. Obviously, it's private land. It'd be a lot safer. You're not worried about other dogs or any issues like that. So I've found a couple spots that I'm really starting to meet with investors and could all, you know, obviously with board dogs, kind of adventure boarding, adventures during the day, and yeah, that's kind of the dream basically. So, and actually taking steps to move forward with that.
You know, when we talked last year, your company was pretty much brand new. You said that you started your company on Thanksgiving. Here we are into the second week of December, just a little over a year later. Can you tell the folks that are listening, of course, we have a lot of dog trainers that listen, you know, a lot of business owners that listen, some of the ups and downs over that first year of business. Let's talk a little bit about that. How has it been for you?
You know, well, I think kind of one of the beautiful things about it is that I really, you know, I was a teacher before and really didn't have any money saved up. So I started this honestly from nothing, you know, and I mean, that's maybe not the smartest thing, but, you know, I started with one dog, Camus, a golden retriever was my first client, then Hershey, a chocolate lab. So I kind of just took a huge risk and had one dog for a week and then a couple dogs and then started marketing. But I remember I spent that first month or two depositing $2 or $3 into my account. You know, it was a struggle. You know, I really believed in it. So that huge risk, I think, was a big downer for a while. But, you know, it was also pretty amazing, I think, to stick with something that you believe in, that it felt like you're on vacation. You know, I was excited to go get up and snowshoe through, you know, through the mountains with one or two dogs. You know, I think I spent a lot of time struggling with, should I hire people? Should I not hire people? How to do that? That was a big issue. I think I learned a lot from having too big of a service area and being the type of person that said, yes, 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 and just did everything, you know, which was a struggle at first too, and kind of had to learn that the hard way. And now I'm definitely not that. You know, I have a smaller service area just because it's just me. And I read an article recently on entrepreneurs that left, you know, kind of just like me. I left teaching to start this. And these were all in the dog industry. So, you know, there was this couple that does pet sitting, and their motto was that we say yes no matter what, and then we make it happen, which, you know, I can understand that perspective for some businesses, but what I've learned for me is now I've learned how to say no so I can be a happier, you know, less stressed out person and really help my clients, that core clientele, out the right way, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. And like you said, you can't have all of the pie. It's best to have a little piece of that pie and really enjoy what you're doing, how you're having that pie. You know, it's always a struggle, no matter what. But if you wake up every morning and you say, "Hey, we're going to plug away at this, and we're going to rock and roll, and you know, it's going to be a great day." What a better way to have your own business doing what you love to do, and it sure does sound like it. So besides your two programs that you're kind of thinking about here in the coming months, what else is going to be happening over the next year, over year two of O-Dog Adventures?
So I would say, you know, the land is the dream, you know. So I'm realistic. If that happens this next year, or if it happens 5 years down the road, we'll go ahead and call that the dream. So if that takes longer than this next year, I think getting a bigger vehicle, like a van, is kind of step one. I met with a franchising attorney and three other attorneys recently, you know, just on how to trademark my name and my catchphrase, "Tell your dog to take a hike," the logo. Learned about licensing and franchising. Actually, I remember when we first talked, one of your questions that really stumped me, and I walked away learning quite a few things from you from that radio show. But you said, "What is your, you know, down the road goals?" And I remember even stumbling through that. Like, I don't really know. You know, I think it was so new that I was honest. I just said, I don't really know. But now that's, you know, the land, I'm looking forward to that and looking into licensing and franchising options. What's really, I think, surprising to a lot of people is that I don't want to hire people for what I'm doing right now. You know, there's a lot to do with, you know, there's a lot of risk involved and a lot of responsibility with doing off-leash trips, and it's, you know, maybe sounds selfish or whatever, but I just am not wanting to go that route. If I had my own land and it was more controlled, then of course I would be hiring. But that's kind of, you know, that's just where it's at right now.
You know, there's a lot of liability, like you said, and in today's day and age, and Denver in particular, I know that market very well. People really do think of their dogs as their kids, and if something happens to them, they're very quick to point that out, aren't they?
Oh, definitely. And one thing I compare, it's kind of, you know, I tell a lot of people that I was a kindergarten teacher before this, and I compare this to you know, my adventures with six dogs to having been a kindergarten teacher on a field trip that I'm constantly counting and redirecting and praising. And I've also learned that I literally believe this, that people love their dogs just as much as kids.
Sure.
And some people don't have kids and probably love them more than any human they could possibly love. So, yeah, I'm really, really careful. And again, I already mentioned this, but I'm at zero problems and injuries or bites or anything. And, it's hard for me to hire somebody I don't want to talk about dollars per hour, but to hire somebody or anybody that might not care as much as I do. You know, it's my business, and I take it very seriously.
I totally agree with you, and I'm sure that it will come, especially if you do that franchising thing and all that. You'll have to deal with all those logistics at a later date. Joel, we have about 4 minutes left. Again, Joel Belmer, owner of O-Dog Adventures in the Denver area. I would like to hear in this last segment, again, about 4 minutes, tell us about a story maybe that you have with one of the dogs one of the adventures you went on. Tell us a little bit about that. Maybe set it up for us about what their dogs would do, and maybe add in a dog or two that you took with you.
I guess something memorable for me is, I really think it's a swimming trip and, snowshoeing. So even for today, today's a good example. We've had some snowfall before today, but we got, a few inches, and I went to this 20-acre fencing area today, and it's really, I guess, just amazing for me to see, once again, comparing dogs to kids, but the excitement the dogs experience when there's new snow. And, I took six dogs out in the snow today just to see them, just having more fun than a normal day or a normal adventure, and playing in the snow and running faster and wrestling. And I think for me, that's, that stuff never gets old. And, I tell people that are at the adventure spots we're at that kind of every day, that I love seeing dogs run around and be happy. And it's just pretty incredible.
Do you have a favorite breed that you're working with right now? Anything in particular that really catches your eye in terms size of dog or breed of dog or, color of dog, whatever?
Great question, because before this business, I didn't know. I had never spent any time with Berners, Bernese Mountain Dogs, or Vizslas, and have fallen in love with both of them. I'm a big Golden Retriever fan. Obviously, I love Labs. I have a lot of Labs. Let's see, poodle mixes, boxer mixes. I have a poodle Chesapeake mix I took out today named Hildy. That anytime I have a chuck it with a ball in the air, she will jump up, 4 feet in the air for like 20 minutes straight until I can start throwing it for her. So I have pretty active, bigger dogs pretty much for my clientele.
Any dogs that you get out there, last question, Joel, about a minute,
sure.
45. Any
sure.
dogs that you get out there and you're, 200 acres from the car and they just quit on you? Do you have any dogs like that that just kind of give
no.
up on the adventure?
No, I honestly never have. Because I think, and again, my clientele already do this kind of stuff, and the dogs are pretty much in shape, and it's an hour and a half. So I think any dog I take out can handle that, from the get-go.
Nothing like having to carry a big old 100-pound Rottweiler.
No, never had any problem like that. Not to say it won't happen, but never, not yet.
Very cool. Joel Belmer, O-Dog Adventures. Check him out on Facebook, as well as his new web. Going to be a brand new website coming out. Maybe we'll make this a yearly thing. Every year around your anniversary, we'll have you back on, figure out what you're doing, because I tell you, you're doing some good stuff out there, and it sounds like you're having a blast. I'm glad to have you back.
Oh, it's incredible. It's incredible. I appreciate you having me.
No problem. Joel Belmer, check him out. Make sure you check out odogadventures.com. We'll see you guys next time. Have a happy holiday, Joel. We'll see you soon, okay?
Okay. Take care.
Take care. This
Bye.
Is Robert Forto. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.